First of all, I hate donuts. I can't imagine a good donut.
Well, shut up,
donut
then. What are you talking
donut
about?
Is just fried bread.
Oh,
that is not
that is
good
awful,
for you. It's
Sam.
Not healthy.
Welcome to Latter-day Lens, unscripted, faith-promoting discussion of current political events with Sean, Sam, and Matt. Everybody to the Latter-day Lens. We are recording right after the Saturday morning session of General Conference. And Sam, as you all know, is one of those hootie-tootie, hoity-toity elites. I noticed that they reserved a spot for his family on the front row of General Conference that they didn't take during the morning session. So are you guys going to take it during the afternoon session? Is that the plan, Sam?
We'll go to the afternoon session. I hear that there's new people conducting the sessions now, and so we've been asked to sit closer up just in case that needs to be handled.
In case you need to stand. Yeah. In case you need to walk up.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we're coming to you after the morning session. Like, there are a lot of chair sitters right now, right? The leadership is aging. Like, there could be massive change in the coming year or even next two years.
That was my prediction.
Yeah.
By the end of this year, Elder Uchtdorf is going to be either the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. No, he'll be the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. That's what I say. There will be enough shifting around.
That's exciting.
By the way, when he becomes president with his lens, his view on the world, that could drastically change quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, so I'm going to read one thing from the mailbag and then we'll have you guys react to morning session if there's anything you want to say. So, apparently, last time we discussed Oregon, and a listener from Oregon was none too pleased with our knowledge of Oregon. They say, corrections from Oregon, I can't believe how we've been abused. Voodoo donuts are garbage. Seriously, your corner donut shop is serving better donuts.
It's not a random listener from Portland, by the way. It had to have been Levi, first of all. Second of all, Voodoo Donuts, for anyone that knows Portland, is iconic in the Portland area. When you're walking through the airport, there are Voodoo donut boxes all over the place, so much so that they've actually exported Voodoo Donuts as a brand to other states like Vegas and elsewhere. And one of the things that makes it unique is they put them in different shapes and sizes and different themes. And some of them are a little edgy, so that's a concern, but the donuts are solid. They're good. So
No, Sam, your corner donut shop is better.
I did not expect such a passionate defense of Voodoo Donuts.
So I would tell you, first of all, I hate donuts. I can't imagine a good donut.
Well, shut up then. What are you talking about it for?
Fried bread.
Oh,
that is
good awful,
for you. It's
Sam.
Not healthy. But as donuts go, it's remarkable that they are what they are. And have you ever had an apple fritter at Voodoo Donuts? Like the apple fritters at Voodoo Donuts will put you into a sugar coma for months.
Sam, what's remarkable is the passion of topics that you sometimes have that you don't even care about.
The listener apparently cared that we said something about Voodoo Donuts, and it's okay that Sam defends his comment about Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah,
he's just being accurate. Sam's just striving
for
accuracy.
Well, Fact Sam, check. Let me just be more authentic, because as a true donut lover, I will also defend Voodoo
Donuts.
Stop
it. Sean loves donuts. I do not love that for a second.
I do love donuts.
You love sushi, and you love, I can't believe it's not butter. You do not like fried bread.
I do. It's a vice. It's a vice. I wish instead in Utah they had a soda drink.
There was
Willy Wonka factory on every corner. I wish it was a donut shop.
You know, in Sugar City, Idaho, all of the stores and restaurants have gone out of business, save one. The
donut shop.
It's a soda shop where you can get Diet Coke with all kinds of mix-ups. Yeah. Hey, so what did you guys think about the first session of conference? Anything interesting?
I loved it.
Yeah?
My two favorites, Elder Holland and Sister Dennis spoke. And Sister Dennis doubled down on her message about how power and authority of priesthood comes
from covenants.
She did
not say that. She did not say that.
She didn't say those words, but she talked about covenants. The covenants are the thing that give us salvation, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, and that is the power and authority that matters. That's it.
You don't call it doubling down if they avoid using the same language as they did the first time.
The meaning of the talk was the exact meaning of her Relief Society talk, the exact one.
What would have been really fun and powerful to begin conference this session with the lineup they had. So think about it. They had the sustaining, which they never do in morning session. And then they went from that to Elder Holland and then to her. It would have been cool to hear sustaining Holland addressing musket fire, because he's come under fire for that, and then her to directly address her stuff. It could have been a release the tension, comedic, humorous moment, but neither did any of that. But
he
Holland's
did say
talk
that,
was
Sam.
Awesome.
What? Holland did kind of say that. He did kind of say, look, I gave a bad talk. And so
no, he did not.
I didn't hear him say that.
That's what he said.
He did not say he gave a bad talk in general. He's like, he was joking around, saying like, if you give a bad talk in conference, you get banished for a year.
Yeah,
no, he hadn't talked. That talk was not given in conference. It was given at BYU in a devotional. He was not talking about that.
Right.
I know he wasn't.
All I'm going to point out is that my prediction of conference was wrong. Jesus has not yet come again.
No, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. It's
that's
Monday.
Right. It's tomorrow.
It's Monday.
Okay.
It's the,
all right.
It's the
so there's still time.
In and fact, Sam's my son Nate suggested that we should drop an episode Monday morning just to preempt the whole thing. Right? We should release early just so everybody can get in one more episode of
Good
Real
Man.
Mormonism.
Before the second coming.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Maybe we'll drop this episode early.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to the thought provoker. Sean, you're up first this week.
Okay, man. This is a hot topic. We're going to debate this. And Sam, not that you're at a disadvantage, but Matt and I have been debating this for days and days and days. And so
I ignore some of your guys' tech, so I apologize. I could have contributed at some point, but some things just wash over my life. So anyway, go ahead.
Poor you, Sam. You missed out on days and days debating this topic.
Yep. There's a hole in your life, Sam. This is the one thing that is missing. This is the one thing. So in 2018, right, the president issued, or the prophet issued, a course correction is the way he said it. A course correction in the name of the church, and gave strong guidance to no longer use the name Mormonism.
Oh, my
goodness. There you go, Sam.
Like real Mormonism? Is that what
we're talking about? No.
Okay.
Sean's a little confused.
For example, So he said, don't use the word Mormonism when referring to the church, and instead use the real name the Lord gave his own church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? He said,
referring to the church as an organization, right,
Sean? That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. He said it's not a name change.
Right.
It's not rebranding.
Reeling you in, Sean. Hey, before you even get to your question.
Sean, I have a question. He's wanting to clarify how we refer to the church. How would you refer to the culture or the cultural movement that is?
Oh, keep listening, Sam.
Okay, go ahead.
This is great. When you don't read ahead, you set yourself up. Okay, great. Let's go.
Go ahead.
Okay, so he said it's not a name change, it's not rebranding, it's not cosmetic, a whim, or inconsequential. It is a correction. So when a slang word becomes a real word, it's called a neologism. Neologism.
By the way, when you can't pronounce the word and no one knows what it means, it becomes irrelevant culturally.
It reverses. So Mormonism is a neologism.
Stop it. Mormonism is not slang for anything.
Hold on. Let me finish. How about you let me finish my question, you two snapperheads?
You just said when a slang word. Wait, what's a neologism?
The word Mormon.
Okay.
Is referencing a man who abridged a book, and it became called the Book of Mormon. Okay,
that's what it is. That's what Mormon.
Probably named after men named Mormon. Right. Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, so it's either of those things. And so what happened was, when things were restored and when the Book of Mormon came about, a slang and derogatory term that people gave early members of our church was they're Mormons. And they would refer to the restored gospel of Jesus Christ as Mormonism. That is a slang term. Mm. And today it has become a part of the English language, and that is called a neologism.
Okay. I'm going to contest your history, but that's okay.
Okay. All right. That's not the topic, but we can go off on that tangent if you'd like. Hang on. I got to the question yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Wait for the question, Sam.
So
there's more written on the piece of paper.
So here is Sam, the answer to your first question.
Okay.
The term Mormonism, and this is a quote from the prophet, the term Mormonism is inaccurate and should not be used when describing the combination of doctrine, culture, and lifestyle. You want me to repeat that?
Combination of doctrine, culture, and lifestyle.
It says that in the church's style guide. It says that in
the church's style guide.
It says that in
the official policy manual.
Sean,
by your own definition, the style guide is not doctrine. So that is not That is not preached across the pulpit. It's not found in the scriptures. That's the preference of some dude approving Associated Press articles.
No, however, that's not the prophet. Hang on. The prophet referenced in his talk that we have changed our style guide to include a definition. That's what he said in his talk.
But Sean, you're not saying that's doctrine, right?
No, I'm not. But I'm also not. But I'm also saying that the word Mormon is not doctrine. That's part of my question. Here, you'll listen. Hang on. Okay. Just be patient. I know you guys want to pounce.
No, I just I didn't know what the question is.
Mormonism is accurate and should not be used when discussing the culture, lifestyle, or doctrine. So then here's the question. Then what is Mormonism? Is it a God-directed term or just a man-made word with varying definitions?
Okay, Sean. Tell me any word out there. Just pick a word that was decided by God. What's the word that God chose for anything? Who named the animals?
Jesus. How about Jesus Christ?
God chose that word?
Yeah, I think God named his son, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Because I thought that it was Emmanuel in the Old Testament. I thought that it really should be translated as Joshua, Jesus.
But before he was born, all of the prophets, all of them knew the name Jesus Christ. Now, it's not very mentioned yes, they did in the Book of Mormon. Joshua. They talked about it.
Joshua.
May I please just give one source, okay? Uh-huh. If you go to churchofjesuschrist.org and you search Mormonism, there is FAQs, and it says, what is Mormonism? Mormonism is a term defining the religious beliefs and practices of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons. Mormonism describes the doctrines and culture of the church that were restored to the earth through the prophet Joseph Smith. When asked what Mormonism is, members of the church will often speak of their love of the Savior Jesus Christ. To them, the Savior is central to Mormonism. It does talk about how we've been asked to refer to the church by its proper name. But as a cultural movement,
Mormonism is like if you were to say, what is a Christian? A Christian as a follower of Christ.
There are absolutely varying definitions depending on who you talk to.
Okay, what is Christianity?
Depends. Are you talking to an evangelical, a Catholic, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Who are you talking to?
And therefore, we choose the word Mormonism to distinguish ourselves from all of those other people that would fall under the umbrella of Christianity.
But we don't, because the prophet came out in 2018 and said, don't do that.
He did not tell us to not use the word Mormonism. He didn't. He said when referring to the church, we should use the proper name of the church.
That's right.
We should. By the way, he said we shouldn't call ourselves Latter-day Saints.
That's correct.
We shouldn't use the word LDS. The church's website was LDS.org.
That's right.
Yeah, so is it really better for people who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to call themselves saints instead of Mormons? Is it really better to call yourselves Latter-day Saints or Latter-day this just to completely avoid the word Mormonism? Mormonism is...
Well, I'm just referencing. All I'm doing is pointing out in 2018, he gave a very, very specific talk. And what he was saying was the Lord named his church. And when we reference this religion and this church, that we are to avoid the nickname because we are supposed. It says very clearly, the Lord is displeased when we use nicknames.
Sam and I both agree with that, by the way.
We do both agree with that. But may I also say that the style guide also says it's okay to refer to the term Mormon in historical expressions. So
Mormonism is a word that means what it means.
I'm not saying it's a bad word. What I'm saying is it is a colloquialism.
No, Sean, it's a word. It's just a word. It's the same as calling it Buddhism. Should I not call it Buddhism?
Well, Buddhism was at one point a colloquialism as well because it was only used by the people who coined it. So when
what are you talking about? That would be every word in the English language.
Okay, that's fine. But
is what Buddhism is.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the word Mormon is a colloquialism created less than 200 years ago. And little by little has become a part of the English language. I don't see anywhere in scripture that it says Mormonism is X, Mormonism Y. Sam, you read one definition. That definition is the Wikipedia definition.
No,
but that's from the church's style guide.
That is from the church's website.
So either Wikipedia took it from the church. Yeah, but there's
The church is using that to refer to itself. The church recognizes that word, that term, is so significant that as much as we don't want anyone to refer to the church that way, you can't avoid referring in history to the cultural movement as Mormonism.
Okay, like, that's fine. No, I agree.
It would be naive to say you can't.
Totally agree, so, Sam. I 100% agree. Hang on. But the clarity that the prophet gave was we should not use it as a reference to explain the cult. Well, just, it's right there.
No, Sean, here's my question.
It. It's the right name there. Of the church.
Sean, here's my question for you. When President Nelson said the Lord is displeased, did he say the Lord is displeased that people, when referring to the movement, call it Mormonism? Did he say that?
No, he said.
Is that what God said?
No, he said he is displeased when we refer to his church as anything other than the Church of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. And we all agree with that.
Yeah.
So I think you're doing, Sean, is you're taking something that President Nelson said in a talk and then you're adding to it.
No. Listen to my question. My question is this. What does it mean? Go ahead and define it.
Sam just did that for us.
But then you have to realize that that came many, many years ago, and now you have a modern prophet saying you can't define it that way.
Why does the church's website contain this reference?
The church's website is not doctrine. It's a collection of old talks. The church is not, the website is not canonized.
Sean. Is the style guide canonized?
No, it's not, but I'm referencing a prophet.
Where in President Nelson's talk?
Who's a standing prophet?
Where in his talk does he say, don't use the word Mormonism?
Throughout that entire talk.
No.
You can read it now if you'd like.
Where does he say, I just want to know the part of his talk where he says, Mormonism does not mean the beliefs and practices of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Here, the term Mormonism is inaccurate and should not be used when describing the combination of doctrine, culture, and lifestyle.
And what he says that it's inaccurate in what way?
Those are his words. You can interpret it how you want, but those are his words. It's inaccurate and should not be used when describing the combination of doctrine, culture, and lifestyle.
I have to find this talk.
That would be wise. Go read the talk.
He did say he said that using the term Mormon is a major victory for Satan, which is interesting.
Mormon. Yeah, but do you know what is a bigger victory for Satan, Sean? The fact that if a person uses the word Mormon today, or if they use Mormonism, they get anti-Mormon, they get ex-Mormon, they get all kinds. That's a victory for Satan.
Well, hang on. I do agree with your words. I also agree with the prophet's words when it says it. But listen, that is what sparked my question.
I have a question. So President Nelson did say that, right? So he said that. We can all go read the one talk, but we can also see how the pendulum swing. Like right after he said it, everybody was super afraid, concerned to even use the term. And the term Mormonism to refer to culture has absolutely come back, right? And I actually feel like there's a loosening within the church in it being acceptable. If you go to President Hinckley, not only did he like it and embrace it, there were moments where you saw some tension between the current prophet and the soon-to-be prophet in their desire to be aligned with the term Mormon, and then their desire to... President Nelson, the reason behind this is he wants us to be more Christian. He wants us to be seen and recognized as a Christian church and not looked at as a sect or a branch of a book. Mormon, though he was a prophet way back when, does not define the church. And so the intent of that proclamation was to get us away from being seen as quote unquote Mormon and having us more solely aligning with Christian values and Christian religious beliefs. But at the end of the day, historically, he can't remove the significance of that term when you think about culture and you think about history and you think about what the movement did.
I think what's happening in our day, Matt nailed it. What happens is now if I Google LDS or Mormonism, what happens is there's a whole group of exmos. There's a whole group of like John DeLynn who is dominating the search results with the word Mormon. So I think that has become a huge problem, right? When President Hinckley doubled down with the I'm a Mormon campaign and all that kind of stuff, I think that was in direct response to this worldwide, very popular musical called The Book of Mormon. And that was a problem. And they decided, let's take back control of it. And it was very wise and very effective. But I think, now President Nelson has a different opinion comes in. But the question is this.
I'm going to read more of what President Nelson says, Sean, because it matters.
Bring it to us.
He says, we ask that the term Mormons not be used. Mormon is correctly used in proper names such as the Book of Mormon or when used as an adjective in such historical expressions as Mormon Trail. The term Mormonism is inaccurate and should not be used when describing the combination of doctrine, culture, and lifestyle unique to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,
all three of
the term Yeah. The term the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is accurate and preferred.
Yeah.
So you said the way that you said it, where you said the term Mormonism is inaccurate and should not be used when describing the combination of, you said that as if it was one sentence, but there's a period in there that matters. He says the term Mormonism is inaccurate and should not be used. And that is in reference to the historical expressions about the Mormon trail. And then he's saying, if you want to talk about the combination of doctrine, culture, and lifestyle, we want you to use the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So he's not saying that the term Mormonism. No, he's not saying that the term Mormonism to describe the combination of culture, doctrine, and lifestyle is the inaccurate way to describe that.
Read the whole, that's the whole purpose of the talk, Matt. That's exactly what he's saying.
I'm just saying you and I are reading that differently.
That's okay. I know there's, okay, we misplaced the period.
The restored gospel.
The purpose of his talk is to say what we just.
The restored gospel of Jesus Christ is not an adequate definition of the term Mormonism. It's not an adequate replacement for the term Mormonism. The restored gospel of Jesus Christ is not the same thing as Mormonism. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Mormonism
I know what
is what it is.
Well, think it is what it is. That's my – so for here's a good example. I listened to a podcast this past week where a young man was explaining his ins and outs of the church and how he fell away from the church. And one way that he fell away from the church was this. And this is a kid from Utah. Now, listen carefully, Sam, and I want your really honest opinion to this. Here's his words. One of the most important things in leaving the church was when my parents became scoutmasters and forced me to go to scouts. That is when I left the church. And his point in bringing that up was this. The culture is the church. The religion is scouts. And there's a when we conflate culture.
What?
That's what he was
what
saying.
What are you talking about?
Listen up, Sam. Listen up, Sam.
I will paraphrase him.
No. Sam, when we try to include.
I am now ejecting Sean.
Why? What do you mean?
Did you just Sean, Mormonism is not the culture. Mormonism is not the church. Mormonism is the movement.
The movement.
The movement.
No, but listen, when we
Scouts is not Mormonism.
I agree, but some people think it is because they conflate, either they use the word Mormonism or they as the whole of the culture and the tradition, but that's not what it is.
As we shift the
as hard as you try, you're never, ever, ever going to complete. Like historically,
I'm not saying
the church doesn't get to decide how it's referenced in history. It doesn't get to decide its place. That is a reference point of history. Like you can't
take
that away. You can change the name, but you can't change the reference.
No, but Sam, but there's a debate right now on what does Mormonism mean? If you ask John DeLynn, who leads and searches, he defines Mormonism as this cult, this fallen church, this evil thing, right? If you ask
you don't get to choose how people define you.
Right.
All you get to do is be as great as you want to be in your own world, and you get to try to assert your own definition. Like
that's all I'm saying.
It's not up to me to decide how he interprets the church or how anyone else does. There, for every one of him, there are people that have positive definitions of the church, right? So you can't pull one kind of fringe, you know, example out and use that.
Very popular. The most popular use of the word Mormon is the Mormon Stories podcast.
If it makes you feel better, Sean, as we transition the name of this podcast to Real Mormonism and people start to listen to us, they're going to recognize that Real Mormonism is what it is in the frequently asked questions on the church's website.
In fact, you know, in the intro, we should go Real Mormonism, taking back Mormons, for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To our listeners, yes, the context of this debate and the discussion was that certain people in this podcast have said we should change our name, and others are saying, let's think about that.
I believe last week it was you, Sean, that said we were going to change the name of our podcast to Real Mormon.
No, I said we were discussing it.
That's not what I heard. I heard something very different.
I actually searched for it this morning. I thought it was already up that way, so I'm fascinated.
No, we're debating it.
I'm going to give the points to Sam. Sam did his research on this one. He found the church's support. It's interesting, right? Sean wanted to find official church sources to argue for one perspective of Mormonism, and Sam wanted to find official church sources to argue for a different perspective of Mormonism, and they both found it. And that's the beauty of it all. And so that's why Sam gets the points, because Sean researched the question in advance and Sam had to, on the fly, find official church sources.
Matt, I'll give myself the points because I'm using – the church sources that I'm using are the Modern Prophet, Living Prophet sources.
So Having had the debate, we cannot leave the site of this conversation without asserting and deciding on the name of the podcast. Go
yes,
forward.
We can.
I
We're
thought
still
this was
debating.
Decided last week. I thought it was decided last week. And we actually went out and bought domains. We actually went out and
But Sam, when you ignore our text during the week, you lose out on the actual important debate that happens.
So well, you can't unwind this. So let's call a vote right now.
No. No, it has to be unanimous. Has to be unanimous.
In favor of the term "real Mormonism" as the name for our podcast.
Hang on. Yes. Okay, but Sam, listen.
What do you say? Yes. Yes, I say. What do you say?
I say we use this as a focus group. So I started a focus group.
Sean,
I asked 30 people. No,
that's
Sam.
Terribly inefficient. There are no focus groups in the church. The church.
You're not in marketing.
In fact,
you don't know.
In fact,
you don't know.
I listened to a talk where
Sam, I am the marketing expert.
I don't even
know. I
know
you don't know.
He said, don't chase likes on Instagram. Do the right
thing. That's right.
So we're not doing focus groups. We're going to just decide this the real way, which is inspired truth.
Respectfully, you know automobiles.
Thumbs up.
You know automobiles. You don't know branding.
Hey, listen to this. I'm going to change the subject to ease the tension. I listened to, because you know Adam Sandler is developing Happy Gilmore 2 right now. Mm. He was talking about the original Happy Gilmore movie, and guess what the focus group audience tested name that the studio wanted to name Happy Gilmore.
What's that?
Hole in Fun. Hole in Fun. And then Adam Sandler stood his ground and he said, no, it's Happy Gilmore. We're going to call it Happy Gilmore. And they're like, no, the focus group say that's a bad idea. Yeah, could you imagine if he had named it Hole in Fun? Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything's bad with focus groups, but that's just a fun story as we move on to the next story.
Next topic.
Okay. So
Sam, you get the points from the last one.
Oh, well, Sam, then that means I decide the vote.
No, it doesn't. That's what all points mean.
Ladies
Remember?
And gentlemen, coming next episode, next week.
I noticed last week around Easter time that my Republican friends were up in arms that Joe Biden had designated Easter as a trans day of visibility. And I think it's because on Truth Social, Trump posted something that made it sound like Biden was creating this new holiday. Well, this did happen on Truth Social.
Yeah, no, but that's not why people were upset about it.
Oh, do you think that Trump? Well, because Trans Day of Visibility has been around for 15 years,
right?
So it wasn't like a brand new thing, right? Every single year, Biden recognizes Easter and recognizes Trans Day of Visibility. He does both every year.
But he has power to pick a date. He didn't have to pick it on the same day as Easter. That was not a smart move.
Are you sure that it's not always March 30th?
Yeah, but he can change. No, but it's not a national day. He could have made the national day April
1st. He could have chosen a different day than what it's been the last 15 years.
Yes, of course. Because it's not a government. The government recognized
So people were mad that Biden apparently didn't change the day this particular year because it fell on the same day as Easter. So as a result, like a lot of Republicans spent their Easter more upset about what Biden did than they did celebrating Easter. Like, I'm serious. Social media, people that normally were posting like in the past, like the church creates all of this Easter content, right? And in the past, these individuals who in the past had been posting all of this church Easter content started posting all of this like anti-Biden trans day of awareness sort of content.
Okay.
You don't believe me that this is true?
Well, you said something like, there are people who failed to share the joy of Easter with their anger trap. Well, name one person.
They did.
Name one person.
I'm not going to name my friends on social media on the podcast.
But you say
my
they
family
failed,
members and friends.
But you're saying
yes,
they failed in their life to share the joy of Easter.
Can I give you my take on this?
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a big miss by Biden. He should have realized that this is a politically hot topic, and he should have stayed away from it. However, that said, how ludicrous that Biden deciding to recognize a marginalized group that gets picked on a lot on the same day when a marginalized group, Christians historically, who get picked on a lot, has their big holiday. Like it is interesting to me, and it's inconsistent, it seems to me, with Christianity to be up in arms over this. So it was bad form on Biden to decide to do it on that day, and he should have known he was going to get hit as hard as he got. But I mean, shame on, like, Christians, really? That's the one thing we do on Easter is we take shots at some day that recognizes people who happen to be trans. I mean, they are a minority, and, you know, culturally they're persecuted, let them do what they want. And, you know, Christians should probably empathize with their position historically rather than go taking pot shots at them. But it is on Biden. And you expected Trump to take every shot, especially in a political season as he took, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to defend Biden. I just see this stuff happen in politics all the time where somebody will find something maybe shocking or upsetting or disturbing.
It's politics.
And then
it's
people's sales. Attention focuses to that. And then rather than...
Sean, you can give Matt the background on it. Like in sales, the thing you want to do is you want to touch a nerve. You want to say something that's going to get the other side completely up in arms and act. The other side in response to this acted inconsistent with their own values. Like, yeah. Like it should not
for political
be a Christian.
Reasons.
Yeah, it should not be a Christian ethic to go persecute, make fun of trans people or take away a day. Like the Christian ethic should say, hey, if you believe that way, you feel that way. Yeah. We wish you would think otherwise because we don't, that's not consistent with maybe our own belief system, but have your own beliefs and let's protect that and not allow other people to take pot shots at you. I mean, the last time in Christianity, somebody was persecuted in large scale, he was hung up on a cross, right? I mean,
I love what you say, Sam. And Matt, my only point was exactly what Sam is saying, which is, Biden keeps doing things like this and it causes less people to vote for him. He's shooting himself in the foot when he does things like that. That was my only point, is he was in very unwise political moves. He divides and he had an opportunity to lead more people to him instead of knucklehead Trump. And he keeps shooting himself in the foot. More people would vote for him if he didn't do stuff like this.
Really? You think they're going to go support Trump because he decided to attack Biden about the
Look at the dumb symbols.
That's what they're going to...
Yeah, some people look at the symbol of Trump holding up a Bible and selling it and versus Biden doing this
worshiping
trans day thing.
In a Christian church versus Biden actually going to church and worshiping
on Easter.
People don't see that, Matt. People don't see that. People through their rage are so enraged that the moderates, the split votes, the people in the middle who might be Republicans who could vote for your candidate, Biden, you know, are pulled back to Trump because they don't want any part of that craziness.
That's right. That's so exactly that, right.
And it's why Biden is going to lose, and it's why Biden's the spread between Biden and Trump in polling this week has widened even more than I mean.
That's exactly.
Trump
right.
has never been as far ahead as he is this week, so it's working.
So there's the part in the Bible where Jesus goes and cleanses the temple, right? And we talk about that as righteous indignation. And I just think that a lot of times people out there justify their behavior with righteous indignation, right? Because they say, here's a moral wrong, here's a bad thing in society. And so I just wonder, how is it that we help people not do that? How do you avoid this righteous indignation when something like that happens? You're ready for Easter and then something like seems evil and wrong, and then you want to respond with indignation.
I happen to want Trump to win.
Well, I know, but
as a political matter, I think it's genius that he released his own Bible. He's getting made fun of all over the place, but people feel super warm voting for him because they see someone of a like mind in his Christianity. And then Biden, to your point, ironically, he's probably the guy that went to church and held a Bible upright straight. And yet, you know, he's getting persecuted for protecting a marginalized segment of society. You know, it's wrong, but in the sales world, it's effective.
I think, Matt, the way to do it is to listen to Sam's sermon. Sam's sermon was perfect. He said, we are Christians. We love transgender people. That's it. And don't be a dumb, don't make dumb political moves by dividing. Like you had an opportunity there to really speak to both crowds. Sam's sermon is the way to help people chill out and not have that fire indignation. That was great, Sam. Points to Sam.
I like it. Hey, listener, thanks for joining us this week. If you happen to see in your podcast feed the name of this podcast change from The Latter-day Lens to Real Mormonism, don't be shocked. It's still us. It's still the same content, same purpose, same everything. Just a more accurate name.
That's a hypothetical. That's a debated hypothetical, guys. give us your feedback, everybody.
Yeah. Sean's begging you. Please help Sean win a vote against two people who are against him.
I'm just saying, I focus grouped it and 30 people gave the right answer. I'm sure more people will come in and tell us what the right way to do it is.
So they're going to tell us to call our podcast Hole in Fun. Okay, listener, thanks. Talk to you next week. That is all the time we have this week, but that doesn't mean the discussion is over. In fact, We include links to the stories we discuss each week in the podcast description to encourage our listeners' participation. Each of you have an important perspective that builds the Latter-day Lens, and we want to hear from you. Let's continue the discussion on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Latter-day Lens, on Twitter at Latter-day Lens, on Facebook at Latter-day Lens, or you can email us at thelatterdaylens@gmail.com. All one word. Finally, please make sure you subscribe to get updated content each week. Thanks for making us one of the most listened to podcasts. We love our listeners.